والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من نار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا إنا أعطينا وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من ليلتنا هذه إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, tonight is the first night of the month of Muharram. It is the beginning of the Islamic New Year. May Allah reward you for your good intentions in participating in the program this evening. May Allah reward those who have put in effort to prepare this masjid for these nights of commemoration and mourning. Normally, a new year, in whatever culture you go to, the new year is a time of celebration, a time of hope, a time of closing up the books on one chapter of life and looking forward to a new chapter of life. And even in the Islamic tradition, we're told that we're actually recommended that we should meet the new year with a spiritual type of meeting, meaning that there's specific a'mal, specific rituals that we're told to perform in preparation for the new year, where we look back at our past year and we divide our deeds into one of two categories. If there was something good that we did, then we ask Allah to accept it. And if there's something that we did that was a cause of distancing ourselves from Allah, then we are told that we should seek repentance for that. And at the end, we're told that if somebody does this type of ritual, then shaitan has a sigh of despair, meaning that the shaitan says that this person, I've lost them for the year. So even within the Islamic tradition, the new year has significance. But for the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, the new year has even more significance, because we know that this is the time of specific mourning of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam on account of the dhulm and the oppression that was done to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, in one of his speeches, he has this beautiful analogy. He says that the month of Muharram and the Azadari and the mourning that we perform, he says that it is the likeness of, let's say you have a flower. The flower needs to be watered on a regular basis. And the azah that we perform, the mourning that we have, is like the water for the flower that is our soul. So, on one hand, it's an occasion of mourning. On the other hand, it's an occasion of gratefulness to Allah and thankfulness. I imagine that, you know, there's some people sometimes I meet in the centers that I have the opportunity to visit, and I'm asking them, I'm like, where are you from? And sometimes they say that I live in this remote city, and the nearest Husainiyah or masjid where they remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam is hours away. Imagine if we were in that situation where we had to drive hours, and sometimes they do drive hours every single day because they know the importance of it. But it would be so easy to just forget about it and just to say that, okay, maybe next year. But alhamdulillah, Allah brought us here, and we're very grateful for this opportunity to be present in this majlis and gathering for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Please recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, tonight I want to give a soft introduction to, you can tell I come from Silicon Valley here, you know. So I'm going to give a soft introduction, inshallah, to my topic. But I want to first focus on some of the meaning and significance behind why we do what we do. You know, this is a really important thing. Once in a while, we need to kind of look back and to say that, why is it that we're doing what we're doing? And can we maybe refine our technique? You know, in every profession that you go into, any field, whether you're in a medicine or you're an engineer or you're an educator or whatever you do, there's always opportunities for you to go back and to like do professional training. You know, you're already in the field, but they say to take a few days off and look at what you're doing and try to see maybe there's a better way of doing what you already do. Now, alhamdulillah, here we have people who have, they're veterans, right? They've been doing this maybe for years. They have their black clothes ready. They have prepared their latmiyas. They know which night they're going to sponsor. Everything is set. Alhamdulillah. And it's part, it's etched within their identity to be a mourner for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But all of us can perhaps use this opportunity to reflect and to see what is it that we can do perhaps in a more refined way with a deeper type of approach. And maybe the result will also be more profound, inshallah. So that's the first thing I'm going to do, is mention some points about the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and how practically maybe we can take them to the next level. And then inshallah I'll introduce my topic and talk about why I chose it. So when it comes to the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I had an opportunity to go through some of the wisdom that's been offered to us by the greatest of our scholars. And I want to share with you some of the points that they mention regarding the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that may give us some point of reflection. Okay, the first point that I took from their words is that these majalis, these gatherings, have special sanctity. They have special hurma. Okay, now, that might be something that's obvious for us, but let's reflect on that. Okay, what does it mean for a gathering to have sanctity, to have special hurma? There's a hadith that is narrated in our books about a majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that was held in the house of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. Okay, our imams used to have majalis in their homes. Why would they do it in their homes? Right. One of the reasons was because they wanted to bring blessings to their homes. One of the other reasons was because at certain times, often, it was the case that the majalis were considered as revolutionary symbols. And the ruling power at the time would not tolerate for that majlis to be commemorated in a public gathering. So they were forced to take it inside the homes. So in this particular gathering, we're told in the hadith, I'm sure you've heard of this before, the Imam alayhi salam had invited a poet by the name of Ja'far ibn Affan. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq inviting a poet by the name of Ja'far ibn Affan. And Ja'far was known to be an eloquent poet and a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So when he sees Ja'far, he says, Ja'far, news has come to me that you do poetry and you do it well. Do some poetry for Imam Hussein. And Imam Sadiq's family is there. Maybe some of his companions are there as well. The men are there. The women are there. And the poet begins to do his poetry. And the room is filled with the remembrance of the musibah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam reacts to this. We're told in the hadith that the tears start to stream down his cheeks. And when Ja'far, the poet, finishes the poetry, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam makes a very interesting and deep point and comment. He says that, Ja'far, I want to tell you something, that while we're sitting here in this gathering, al-mala'ika al-muqarrabun, meaning that there's certain classes of angels. There's those angels which are known as the muqarrabun, those angels which are near to Allah Ta'ala. He says that al-mala'ikat al-muqarrabun have gathered and they are attending and they are present at this gathering of ours and they are hearing the poetry that you are saying. And when we are crying, bakayna wa bakaw, meaning we've cried and they have wept as well. Wa akthar, meaning that they have cried even more than we have cried. The Imam alayhi salam was crying, the companions were crying, but the Imam is saying that the angels have cried even more than we have cried. Meaning what? Meaning that the angels attended that majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Okay, now, we become a little bit, we become a little bit too comfortable in the madiyat, right, in the material entities. And sometimes when you hear these type of things, we're like, oh, okay, whatever, I've heard that before, next, what's next? This guy just repeating the same stuff again, I've heard this before, right? Brothers and sisters, think about this, okay? Shahidat al-mala'ika al-muqarrabun. The near angels were witnessing that gathering, that majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, meaning that there is a chance that maybe one of them is present in this gathering as well. Does that do anything for us? Does that move us inside? It should. Inshallah, it does. I want to give you another example from the hadith that we have. This particular hadith is narrated in the book known as Kamil al-Ziyarat. It's by Ibn Qalawi. It's a very considered with a lot, a very, very venerated book in Shia hadith literature. What does this hadith say? It says that Inna Fatimata bint Muhammadin, salawat was. Tahduru li zuwari qabri ibniha al-Husayn alayhi salam. What does it mean? It says that indeed Fatima, the daughter of, this is a hadith narrated from 60 Imam al-Islam. It says that indeed Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, is present at the grave of her son Hussein alayhi salam on account of the zuwar, the visitors of that grave. Why is she there? Right? Why is she there? First of all, Fatima alayhi salam has passed away, right? She's shahida, right? So how can she be there? Obviously, what's meant here is a special type of spiritual presence. Why is she there? On account of the zuwar? The hadith continues that she is there. فَتَسْتَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَهُمْ. She is asking Allah for forgiveness on account of their sins. So somebody goes for the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and suddenly the spirit of Fatima alayhi salam is accompanying that person, inshallah, if they're sincere in their ziyarah. Now, brothers and sisters, if somebody goes for the ziyarah and the soul of Fatima alayhi salam is there, then could it be the case that if somebody is attending a majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that perhaps the that they would receive the special inaya and special attention of Fatima? Perhaps it's plausible. It's very plausible that that would also be there. So when we say that the gathering of Majlis of Imam Hussein Islam is to be treated with sanctity, it's a special gathering, I've given you these two hadith as a way of supporting and justifying that. And what that means for us is that we can treat it like that. It's not an ordinary gathering. When we're coming to it, it's something which, even for our families, right? If we have children that we're bringing, if we want to invite other people, we say that, oh, this is not an ordinary gathering. I'm not inviting to some building in some city where you can just come and then, you know, hear some words and then have some food. No, we're going to a gathering which is a gathering which we don't even understand or fathom the spiritual power of such a gathering. Please recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So that's point number one. Point number two. We have a hadith, which is a famous hadith. I'm sure you've heard of it before. It's one of very powerful hadith. Again, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that nafasul mahmumi li dhulmina tasbihun. What does he say? Have you heard this hadith before? Yes, nafasul mahmum. Yes? No? Okay. So he says that nafas means a breath that you take. Like nafas, right? Nafas kashidan. You take a breath. Mahmum means somebody who is disturbed, right? So somebody who is worried and somebody who is grieved. So what is the Imam saying? He's saying that if somebody were to take a breath of somebody who is worried and distressed on account of the dhulm and oppression done to the Ahlul Bayt, that is counted as a tasbih, right? That's a type of glorification. It's a dhikr of Allah, right? So it's very important. And then he says, وَهَمُّهُ لَنَا عِبَادًا. And the efforts that they take on account of us, it's an ibadah, it's an act of worship. So if you put that together, what that hadith is saying is that when somebody takes steps in the way of the Ahlul Bayt for the sake of the Ahlul Bayt, for the cause of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, that is a type of ibadah, it's a type of worship. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him and give him a long life. He says something very interesting. He says that when you come to the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, try to do wudu particularly for entering the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, we might be in wudu because of salah, right? We're like, I'm going to go for doing the prayer. So we can add this intention as well, that I'm making my wudu before I go. Why? Because I'm entering a majlis of Imam Hussein and I want this to count as an act of worship for me. And then he says in one of his speeches, he says that make the dua when you're doing that wudu and say to Allah, O Allah, I want to enter that majlis tayyib and tahir, meaning I want to enter into it with purity. Why am I telling you this, brothers and sisters? Because, you know, we're looking for best practices. Right, we're trying to optimize, we're trying to increase our rewards, we're trying to make our experience even deeper. So these are practical things, inshallah, we can put into practice and teach others as well. One of the things that we can do for the sake of Imam Hussein and to better our experiences. So I mentioned two points. The third point that I want to mention is that when it comes to the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, one of the etiquettes that we've been told to practice is that we should try to be participating in the mourning that takes place. Increasingly, I think there was a time when it was something that was obvious, we didn't need to state it, that when you come to the Majlis of Imam Hussein, you come to cry, right? Obviously, you come to cry. But increasingly, we're seeing that, especially for our newer generations, that they might be attending the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and it's more of a spectator sport. You know what a spectator sport is? It's when you go and you watch somebody else doing something, right? You pay a few hundred bucks and you go watch the LA Rams. Thank you very much. I had to think about that for a while. You watch the LA Rams do their football, right? So I don't know, maybe in LA they charge 500 bucks, right? You're paying 500 bucks. So are you going to throw a ball? Are you going to catch a ball? Are you going to run on the field? You get nothing. All you do is watch other people do that, Right? It's called, it's a spectator type of thing. So sometimes the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for some people, it's like, let me go in, right? I'll go for the thawab, I'll go for the cultural experience, I'll go for the religion, inshallah, I'll be counted somewhere. But a good portion of the lecture, I'm on my phone, right? I'm checking stocks, I'm checking LA Rams, what the score was in their football, whatever it's, right? And then I'm looking at all these people around me, I'm like, man, they're crying. Like, why are they crying? Like, you know, that person's crying. That person's like actually like bawling, the tears, right? And I'm looking at other people do that. And that's my majlis experience. Brothers and sisters, one of the things our great ulama have emphasized is that do not make the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam a spectator sport. You participate in there. You try your best to make it be an emotional experience for you. And I'm talking to myself first and foremost, right? I need to be looking at this as I'm emotionally involved and connected with it. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen, right? Maybe for some people, they're like, I don't really cry. I cry if I get hurt, right? But I don't really cry when I hear stories of people from the past, okay? So Ahlul Bayt have you covered, right? They've taken care of us even in that respect as well. There's a very beautiful discussion that I'm sure you've all heard before about this topic of buka and at-tabaki, okay? And I don't want to go into it in too much detail here, but there's a misconception that some people have that if I need to go to a majlis, Imam Hussein, and I need to pretend to cry. I need to make a big sort of show of it to make people think that I cry, and that's going to be something that will earn me the reward with Allah. Okay, that's actually a mistake. If we go back to Islamic tradition, there's very beautiful hadiths which explain this concept between weeping and trying to be emotionally connected to something. Okay, I'll give you a couple of these hadith. One of them is narrated from in the books of hadith from Abu Dharr, the companion of the Prophet. He says that one time the Prophet told us that every so often, you should try to make yourself weep. Try to be in a state of huzn. Weep. Okay? And if you're not able to make yourself weep, if somebody's not able to make themselves do that, فَلْيَسْتَشْعَرْ قَلْبَهُ بِالْحُزْنِ. Let them at least try to make their heart feel sad. Because the heart, which does not feel huzn, is a heart which is distant from Allah. So the Prophet was telling people that you might not be able to cry, but I'm giving you a way that you can at least, you know, be involved. There's another hadith which is mentioned. Okay, very beautiful incident here. The hadith says that one time the Prophet was with companions and he read an ayah from the Quran. It's from Surah Az-Zumar, where Allah Ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." He was with a group of Ansar, okay, particularly Ansar. So, "Wasiqa alladhina kafaru ila jahannama zumara." Okay, "Wasiqa alladhina kafaru ila jahannama zumara." All right. There will be a group of people who will be driven to Jahannam. And they'll be driven in groups, you know, kind of like a flock of animals being chased by, you know, a shepherd dog, and they're being driven to a certain destination. These people will be driven there without their own will. They will be of no form of resistance to that. And the hadith says that all the people present in that gathering began to cry. What did the Prophet do? He recited one ayah of Quran. But there was one young man who didn't cry. So the Prophet asked him, "Oh, young man, what happened?" So he says that I couldn't cry, but I did tabaki. Tabaki meaning that I made an effort to be emotionally connected. I tried to understand what you were saying. I tried to make it hit my heart. And inside of myself, I was somehow affected by what you had to say. What does the Prophet say? The Prophet at that point says, "Man tabaka falahul jannah." He says somebody who at least had that emotional connection and tried to make themselves cry, that person, to them belongs Jannah. So it didn't require that person to be bawling tears, but they were trying to be emotionally connected. So that's what we mean by not letting it just be a mere spectator sport. That's one level of being involved, is crying. There's other levels as well, right? There's the level of being involved in terms of, you know, trying to arrange things, trying to organize things. You know, in the seerah of our great ulama, we have even some of the elderly ayatollahs, they would bend down and, you know, make sure the shoes of the azadaran were lined up properly. Or they would serve chai, right? Even right now, you go to Arba'in and you find people serving, right? These are people, some of them are, you know, doctors, physicians, you know, professors, you know, some of them are elderly people who maybe aren't in the best of physical condition. You have ayatollahs, and when it comes to serving Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they say that this is an honor for us to be able to do that. So we always want to look for those opportunities, inshallah. And of course, there's other ways of being involved that involved like understanding our responsibilities and responding to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which I don't want to get into at this point. Please recite salawat. I've mentioned three points of practical points. One of them is treating the gathering with sanctity. The second one is looking at it as an ibadah. The third one is the concept of tabaki and being emotionally connected. I'll mention one last point, which is the importance of being welcoming. One of the things we have to realize is that there are few times in the year where the centers which are dedicated to Ahlul Bayt are as filled as they are in these days. And we have people who come perhaps once in a year or just a few times in the year. And for whatever reason, they're not going to come again. It's super important for us to be aware of this and to be hospitable and to be welcoming to them. What do we learn from the seerah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? I want to narrate an incident here that I'm sure you've heard before. When the army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam meets the army of Al-Hur, the army of Hur, the Imam Hussein asks him, he says, are you with us or are you against us? Hur says, I'm against you. I've been sent actually to like take you away from Kufa. Right? I'm here to fight you. What does Imam Hussein do? Imam Hussein alayhi salam notices that Hur and his army are thirsty. So he orders his companion, he says that take what the water that we have and distribute it with them and let them quench their thirst and give them water for their horses as well. And then the tradition continues and it says that there was one of the soldiers of Hur who came late, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam sees that he came late. So what does he do? He goes to that man and he tells him, he speaks his own dialect and he says that, you know, take this water skin and drink water. And then he sees the man is so tired and so hot and thirsty that he's fumbling with the top of the water skin. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes and opens the water skin for him. And then he drinks water that way. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is hospitable even to an enemy soldier. What does that mean when it comes to our duty to be hospitable and welcoming to those who attend and have that love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam? I want to mention particularly two or three hadith that we have here. One of the hadith we have is from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. What does he say? He says, إِذَا ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي بَيْتٍ فَلَا يَتَنَاجَى إِثْنَانْ دُونَ صَاحِبِهِمَا. He says, if there's three people in a bayt. Now bayt sometimes means home in Arabic. Sometimes it means room. Okay, let's say that it means room in this case. If there's three people in the room, what does the Imam Radha alayhi salam, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, if three people in a room, two of them shouldn't whisper with each other. Two of them shouldn't be like talking to each other in a private way, which excludes the third one. Why? Because that's something which causes that other person to be distressed. That's really important because sometimes we have our gatherings, right, where we know our friends, we speak their same language, and there's somebody who is new and they feel totally excluded. Right, and I'm speaking here from the actual experiences we've heard from people who maybe they're reverts or maybe they are It's been some time since they have attended the masajid, and they're like, we came to the majlis of Imam Hussein expecting to be welcomed. Instead, we feel alienated. This is very important. Number two, this hadith is from the 8th Imam alayhi salam. He says, وَأَحْسِنْ خُلْقَكَ وَأَجْمِلْ مَعَاشِرَتَكَ مَعَ الصَّغِيرِ وَالْكَبِيرِ. He says that, first of all, make your akhlaq beautiful. Right? That's what the Ahlul Bayt are all about. Second of all, he says that when you meet and greet, and whether it's somebody who's older to you or younger than you, then you should do so in a beautiful way. Right? That's really important. Meaning that sometimes we're comfortable with the people our age and we're willing to like kind of say salam to them and greet them. But in the hadiths of the Ahlul Bayt, the akhlaq of the Ahlul Bayt, you're supposed to be in having beautiful etiquette and adab and akhlaq and conversations and, you know, greeting with somebody, whether they be older than you or than younger than you as well. Right? So these are practical things that we learn from Ahlul Bayt and so on. Last one is that the Imam, this is from a hadith narrated from our Prophet, where he says that some of the examples of injustice. So one of the things he says that it's an act of injustice that you should meet somebody and you should spend some time with them, and you don't ask them their name and where they come from. You don't ask them their name and their family. Right? That's really important, is just being able to meet somebody and say, what's your name? Right? And this is important, especially in masajid and centers, that we do that. So many times we've seen that when you just make that connection of a name, then that becomes something that a person feels like, oh, I was respected. I was welcomed. And that's another practical tip. Now, finally, before I enter the dhikr musibat, one thing I wanted to just mention here is that the topic I've chosen, inshallah, for the upcoming nights is the topic of the divine promises of Allah. And why is it that I chose that topic? Inshallah, I'll get into it more tomorrow. But when we look at one of the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam obviously wanted something from those around him, and he wants something from us. One of the things that Imam Hussein alayhi salam calls us towards is a deeper connection with our iman. Meaning that he calls us towards Allah, and a deeper belief in Allah that affects what we do. Because what we saw in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that there's people who knew what was right, but they totally abandoned the path of right. So he wanted us to be people who knows what's right and also follows what's right. So one of the areas where we can deepen our iman is when it comes to the promises of Allah. And inshallah, we'll get into that. The other reason has to do with the events that we're witnessing. When we look at what's happening in Gaza in particular, right, it's something which is undescribable, right? Absolutely undescribable. I was saying to our community up in the north that people were celebrating July 4th. You know, I was woken in the middle of the night a few nights ago because of like loud bangs. And the reason for those bangs was people were, you know, doing fireworks in the middle of the night, illegally. But it was just fireworks, right? So I was able to like sort of shake it off and then just like go to sleep. On the night of 4th of July, I don't know about here, but there, you know, the skies were filled with like different colors and sounds. In Gaza, we have people who on a nightly basis, they hear these types of loud noises. On a nightly basis, they see these types of explosions and lights in the sky. But they're not just occasions that they can shake off. Those are things which are warnings, and they're things which are, they bring about a lot of worry, because they can be thinking that perhaps that's a missile which is aimed at targeting my home and my neighborhood. Maybe this is the last night. Maybe that noise is a noise of bullets of people and soldiers who are murdering my family members or, you know, my friends, or maybe they're aiming their bullets at me. And this is the type of world that we're living in. And at this time, it's particularly important for us to be very, very aware of the workings of Allah and how He does things and the promises that He's made, and to commit ourselves to believing in those promises and to remain steadfast in order for us to be able to do our part in this tragedy that's unfolding, this genocide, this Holocaust that's unfolding in front of us as we as we live through, you know, in our side of this world. So the topic of divine promises, inshallah, is something which links the past to the present, which is what we want to be doing in our members. We don't want to just be stuck in the past. We want to, inshallah, be thinking about what is our responsibility in the current time as well. At this point, inshallah, I would like to move to the masail portion of tonight's program. Inshallah, you can help me with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى وابن فاطمة الزهراء أيها المقتول عطشانا بكربلاء Peace and blessings be upon you, O Master of Martyrs, O Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Peace and blessings be upon you and your noble companions who are buried with you in Karbala. On this first night of Muharram, we wish we could be there in Karbala, saying to you, and saying to them, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, fanafuza ma'akum fawzan azeema. If only we could be with you and attain that great victory. Sallallahu alayka ya Muslim ibn Aqil wa Hani ibn Urwa. Peace and blessings be upon the martyrs of Kufa, Muslim ibn Aqil and Hani ibn Urwa. Let us take our hearts to Kufa. Imagine that it's the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. What took place on the day before, Muslim ibn Aqil was the representative of the Imam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent him with a letter saying that this is my cousin. Not only my cousin, he's my brother. وَثِقَتِي مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي He is the one who can be relied upon from the family of the Prophet. Muslim ibn Aqil was a representative of the Imam. He gathered the people together. Thousands of people were supporting him. But when he asked them to come and fight with Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, there were only 6,000 who joined him. Later on, when he went to the masjid, they began to abandon him. When he finished his prayers, one report says that only 100 of them remain. When Muslim ibn Aqil reached the outskirts of the city of Kufa, he turned back. He saw that he was alone. Muslim ibn Aqil, the representative of the Imam, is walking the streets of Kufa alone. He finds a home to stay in on that night. He spends the night worshipping Allah. But eventually the soldiers of Ubaydullah find him. There's a battle that takes place. Muslim ibn Aqil fights so bravely. But eventually they capture him. They take him to Darul Imara. They take him to meet Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He speaks to him, he sees that Muslim ibn Aqil is very strong in his love for Imam Hussein. At one point he sees, however, that Muslim is crying. He says to him, Muslim, all this talk of Shahada, all the bravery we saw from you, why is it now that I see tears in your eyes? Muslim says, I am not crying for myself. I am crying for what was going to happen to my beloved Imam Hussein and his Ahlul Bayt. They are coming to Kufa, but the people of Kufa have betrayed them. Imagine that there's a crowd that is gathered at the ground looking at what is happening in Darul Imara. They see on the roof, Muslim is being taken. He is a prisoner. What is he being taken to do? Why is he on top of the roof? What are they going to do to him? The sword is raised, and the sword now strikes Muslim ibn Aqil. The blessed head of Muslim ibn Aqil is thrown down from the roof, down to the ground. But that is not the only thing that happens. The body of Muslim ibn Aqil is also thrown down to the streets of Kufa. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When the news reaches Imam Hussein alayhi salam on his way to Kufa, the two men who narrate the news, they say that we told Imam Hussein alayhi salam that we heard this news from a reliable source, that they took the bodies of Muslim and Hani. Not only did they behead them, not only did they throw the bodies from the roof down to the streets of Kufa, they did something they've never done before. They tied the bodies to the horses, and they had the bodies dragged through the streets of Kufa. Not only that, they took the bodies of Hani and Muslim and they nailed them up on the gate of the palace as a warning to those who would want to rebel against the Khilafah. And they've taken the heads of Muslim and they sent them to Yazid, who was happy to receive them. They say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he received this news, he cried out, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Rahimallahu muslima. May Allah have mercy on Muslim. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam, at this point, his eyes are filled with tears. Some of the books of history, they narrate an incident. They say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked for the daughter of Muslim to be summoned to him. When she comes to him, she's also his niece. He takes her, he holds her and embraces her. He begins to strike her, to stroke her head. She asks him, Oh my uncle, why are you stroking my head like this? I've only seen you stroke the heads of orphans like this. Has something happened to my father, Muslim? He tells her that, Oh my daughter, don't worry, your father has been martyred, but I will be your father now. My sons will be your brothers. My sister Zainab will be an aunt to you. But right now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is promising her the company of these great ones. But what will happen one day when Imam Hussein alayhi salam will be martyred? Ali Akbar will be martyred. Abbas will be martyred. Qasim will be martyred. The women and the children will be left without any protectors, without the menfolk. They'll be running through the desert of Karbala, crying out, Wa wayla, Wa Husayna. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept as much as from us and to count us among the Azadaran of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah Ta'ala that He keeps our hearts alive with His remembrance, and we are able to bring tears to our eyes when we hear the zikr and musibat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah Ta'ala, by the sake of Imam Hussein, that He grants victory to the oppressed, especially those who are oppressed in occupied Palestine, those who are suffering in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Kashmir, in all the other parts of the world. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our master, the Imam of our time, and to make us among His true muntazireen. With the barakah of salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.